It's the 5-8-104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's time. Anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Listening and socially distancing, I might add. This is a theme for me, R, because the Timberwolves drafted Anthony Edwards.
Yay.
Dr. Mark Green. Plus, there's a very important NBA player that's going to be spending some time in the ER the next few weeks. We'll talk about that tonight on the show. We'll go over a few other things along the way, but Grant, we're going to start with the NBA draft tonight. First of all, how are we doing?
Good.
You got your fill of the NBA draft last night and ready to roll.
The Wolves didn't screw up their picks.
Yeah, that's good. We'll talk about the NBA draft here first off, and then we'll inform you on the superstar that's going to be on the shelf here for the coming season. Also, a big day in NBA history. We'll get to that later. We'll of course talk about the National Football League later on, including another. It's a very historically significant day and a couple of major plays that people might remember. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the college football weekend. Also, a little bit of college basketball news to close out the show today as well, as NDSU has some games that got lined up here. No fans, mind you, but they'll be down at a familiar place against a familiar opponent, and one that if you were a basketball fan in the 80s, you might remember pretty well. But we're going to start this particular show, and normally we'd, of course, go right to the NFL, but we're going to start with a little NBA draft recap from last night. So the Minnesota Timberwolves come in and take Anthony Edwards of Georgia as the number one pick. And, you know, the last time I... watched any serious college basketball, it's been a while. But, you know, when you draft this guy...
No. There's two of us in Goose.
Boy. Anyway.
What?
That's Anthony Edwards from Top Gun playing Goose.
Okay.
Anyway, I know you
That's not funny.
It is funny. No, it's absolutely funny. Goose. It's Goose from Top Gun.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway. Anthony Edwards, this guy a much better athlete than that Anthony Edwards, presumably. So there was some discussion going in, Grant, about who was going to be the first pick. If it was going to be LaMelo Ball, if it was going to be James Wiseman, or if it was going to be Anthony Edwards. So as it turns out, the Wolves go with the shooting guard from Georgia. What are your thoughts on the pick?
It was the correct pick.
Okay.
I think it was the correct pick, and you didn't know what they were going to do. They were taking trade offers until the moment they made their pick. You could tell because literally it was 0-0-0 on the ESPN telecast of the clock. There was no 0-0-4 pick was ever made. And so, you know who they were going to take. And I'm happy it wasn't the level ball. If it was for PR purposes, they would have taken the level ball. I don't want Wiseman because, well, he doesn't want to be there. So Edwards, by default, was the best pick in this draft. And he's a Dwayne Wade kind of player. That's what the Wolves need, an athletic guy.
So the interesting thing about Anthony Edwards is that he was coached by Tom Crean at Georgia. And Tom Crean was also the coach for Dwayne Wade, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's the whole connection there that goes into it. So let's break down why he's so good. Why is he the best pick to make?
He's an all-around scorer. He's a three-level scorer, and if you in 2K purposes,
oh, three-level scorer.
He's a three-level scorer.
Gotta go three-legged.
Who can go to the rack? He can shoot the ball and can be a really good defender. That's something he needs to work on. But when he and his mind's right to plan, he's a really good talent. Real good talent.
Okay. Is he going to fit in well with the Timberwolves? Because the Timberwolves now.
He already talked with D'Angelo Russell, so twice.
So the what would the Wolves starting five look like here? It's going to be, presume, let's say Edwards plays. So it would be Russell and Edwards.
Russell, Edwards, probably Josh Okogie.
Of course, Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, and who is the power forward?
Well, I mean, they could plug a few different names in there, I suppose. Cause, I mean, they got rid of James Johnson's salary cap.
That would have been the starter.
Right.
Maybe Juan Hernan Gomez, maybe? I mean, I can't think of who their power forward would be.
Well, obviously that can all change over time, I suppose.
Yeah, it could.
It's not going to be Evan Turner, is it?
No. Hopefully not.
Okay.
I mean,
hang on, I got YouTube.
Shocking.
I know it'll stun you that I've
got. But in free agency, the Wolves, you try to get Serge Ibaka.
Okay.
They just try to get Ibaka. They need a power forward still. I think Ibaka would be a good decision, I think.
I suppose it would.
Well, maybe Jaden McDaniels, because they did draft it. They did draft a power forward in this draft.
Would it be...
Jaden McDaniels.
Okay. Well, Juan Hernan Gomez is who they list on right now.
Yeah, I think Jaden McDaniels could be the starter. A steal at 28.
Ricky Rubio goes back to the Wolves. And I know you don't like that move, but isn't that a good move for the Timberwolves just to get point guard depth?
For bench depth, maybe, but I don't like him.
Okay, why don't you...
I'm among the few in the fan base that doesn't like Ricky Rubio.
Why don't you like Ricky Rubio?
And all it does is... He was supposed to be Steph Curry. Like, he should have been Curry instead of we have Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio.
Okay.
Every time I look at Ricky Rubio, I'm like, you should be Steph Curry, and you aren't. So, I know he's a fan favorite. I know people like him, but I'm not among people who don't like him.
Regardless of what you think of the Rubio, the Edwards is going to be, by all accounts, a top-notch scorer. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. This isn't exactly the perfect draft. I mean, there's no consensus like, yeah, you bet we're going to go number one here with this guy, and go from there. It just wasn't that type of draft.
No.
So I get what the Wolves did. But overall, you like it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go through the first, kind of half of the draft.
First 15,
get the lottery and see 15. How we do here. I wonder if things had gone differently for the Warriors, knowing what they know now today, and that's the other news of the day we need to get to as we go to Golden State at number two. Klay Thompson suffered an injury yesterday before the draft. Turns out today they revealed torn ACL.
Achilles,
out for the year. Pretty big, significant hole for them. And, of course, they go out and draft James Wiseman. To me, he's the player that is the best prepared to make an impact in the draft, like, right away. But where does he play? I mean, does he play? He doesn't start for Draymond.
Well, he can play center.
And you want him to? Do you move? Is Draymond going to be the power forward? Is that basically what you mean?
He was in the first place.
Okay, so that really doesn't change it.
No, I'm not. No,
they're going to take the Andrew Bogut role that they've had.
Yeah, no, but at least I think he's better than Andrew Bogut.
Well, I'm just illustrating that's the offense.
But unlike last year, there's no D'Angelo Russell to fall on. This is because Thompson's injured. There's no second star to plug in there. They need to put some unproven guy in there. I mean, Eric Paschal plays small forward. He's not a shooting guard. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with the shooting guard position. So, I mean, if they knew what they knew now, maybe they take Isaac Okoro. Maybe that's a stretch that he was drafted at five.
And he went five.
He went five, but he's not a top two pick. LaMelo's a point guard. He's not a shooting guard.
So LaMelo goes three then to Charlotte. And I guess depending on who you asked was... probably the other choice.
People like it because of his passing ability.
But he was probably the other choice the Wolves were looking at.
Yeah, right? But my knock on him, he's 6'6", but he's 165. I mean, he's the weight of an eighth grader. But
you think he can score enough?
I don't think he will because he won't go on the paint.
Who in Charlotte are they going to ask? Who's going to lead the charge in Charlotte offensively? I guess I don't.
Devontae Graham.
See, the fact that I'll bet, and I'm sure that several people listening to this podcast have a pretty good knowledge of who Devontae Graham is.
He's their best player.
I haven't heard... I've heard his name, but I couldn't tell you anything about Devontae Graham. Maybe that's why they're picking third in the draft.
Maybe. Him or Terry Rozier, but that would be
well,
it.
Again...
He's not even that great.
Nobody cares about...
It is Charlotte, so...
Yeah, they suck. Okay.
They suck.
Fourth pick of the draft was kind of a surprise, I think, to all of us, and that was Patrick Williams from Florida State. 6'8", 225, but...
He didn't start that much.
Yeah, he didn't. And that's what I... and
he hardly started at all.
Was he even the best player on his own team? Wasn't Devin Vassell better than he was?
Better.
But he was apparently a big pre-draft guy, and that's what Chicago...
He's a big combine guy?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how the NBA combine works out. But works out compared to the NFL one. But
no.
Anyway, and then comes the guy you liked, Okoro, at 5. Yeah. Defensively, he looks like a dude.
Oh, yeah.
Problem is, he's not much of a shooter from what I perceive.
And he's playing to... He's going to the Cavs.
Who have...
Nobody.
Nothing. Okay.
I mean, they're like Colin Sexton and some other guys, but they don't have...
That ain't gonna
they have guards, but...
That ain't going to get anybody excited.
I think Cleveland's a little too guard-happy. They're just really... They like their guards too much. They draft more and more and more of them. They don't need them. I mean, only two could start, and only a couple can go in at times when those guys are arrested.
For all we talk about guard play and everything, it's amazing how many big guys went early. And then the next guy that came off the board for the Hawks at 6 was Onyeka Okongwu. I'm probably butchering his name there.
You're almost right.
But he, I guess I don't... Hawks already have Clint Capella.
Yep.
So they already have a rim protector.
Yeah.
Basketball
player. I forgot if he plays power forward or center, but if he plays power forward, that's
well, good enough. That's what I mean. Is he going to play center? I mean, I thought, isn't Capella really...
Capella's more the power forward? Capella's a center.
Okay, well then... This pick makes even less sense the day after I look at it.
I mean, who would you have taken? Obi Toppin? Maybe? I would have taken Toppin. But.
Look, I think Toppin, I'm going to say it right now, is going to win Rookie of the Year. He is going to have the best chance to excel.
Because he's playing for the Knicks.
Right. I mean, if you look at it, he'll get the oversized media attention. He's going to have a style of play that is going to be fun for Knicks fans.
Yeah.
And
because they need something to cheer for.
Right, so. Right. No, and I don't want to skip over Killian Hayes from the Pistons, but, you know, great. He's going to be the kind of guard that runs yeah. the team and not do much else.
Stephen A., who is the loyal Knicks fan, seriously. Hated the selection. He hated the selection.
But he shouldn't have dropped to 8, should he?
No, I think he should have been the 4th pick. Mm-hmm. I thought the Bulls should have grabbed him.
That's what I thought.
I had him 4.
I thought the Bulls would take a player like Toppin. I didn't, honestly, when we sat there, and again, as we all know, I am casual NBA guy.
Yeah, you are the ultra casual.
But NBA. I was very surprised that Toppin, who had been at one point considered...
He was the NASA Player of the Year.
Well, and he was at one point considered one of the top candidates to be the top pick.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd been before the lottery.
Yeah.
He knew where everybody went. I'm just really surprised that he would slip this far. But, you know... New York's a great fit for him. He'll fit in well there, don't you think?
Yeah, I think. He's from New York too, so it's a good fit.
There you go. Denny Avdija.
I still just call him Denny.
Denny. So, best international prospect apparently.
There are a lot of them in this draft. There were a lot of them.
You know, Wizards probably.
They need somebody, so he
sure. Works. Why not? This is the one I found a lot of hate on. Was Jalen Smith from Maryland.
I wanted the Wolves to draft him later on the first
round. I think a lot of people thought that on a team that already has DeAndre Ayton, why do you go...
He's a power forward.
Well, but still, isn't he more
You got to fill 5 positions. I think he's probably...
Is the classic stretch 4, stretch 5 guy who... I don't know. I didn't see enough of him play to know... But I know how good Ayton is.
Ayton's great.
And is this a good fit? Again, this is like why the Wolves wouldn't take Wiseman. They've already got a big guy, right? So this is another case. Do you really need a guy of this size?
Well, then why did the Rockets select Elijah Wan without hit Sampson?
That's a whole different era of game.
I know, but if you want to fill out your front court and you want the best power forward in the draft, then you get Jalen Smith.
I get it. We talked about Devin Vassell earlier to go to San Antonio. He's a very Greg Popovich type of player.
Can mold him, can do anything you want to him kind of player, but it's the Spurs and
the term I've heard now used very frequently over the past few weeks in looking at draft is a 3-and-D guy.
A 3-and-D guy?
Yeah. 3-and-D, he shoots the 3, plays D.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he does. And probably was the, you know, like we said, he was the best player on the best team in the conference.
Yeah.
And again, he's not Kawhi Leonard, but he's got some of the characteristics of him. And I bet that's why Popovich probably likes him.
Probably. I think he's going to be... I don't think he'll be a great player, but I think he'll be a typical Spurs player. He'll be like Manu Ginobili.
Is he going to be like Danny Green?
He might be the next Danny Green.
That'd be like a guy who can shoot and play some good D.
Yeah, who moved to two teams in one day.
Right, it's pretty amazing. The guy everybody was raving about at 12 was Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State.
Yeah.
Who definitely won the hottest girlfriend contest, according to social media, from what I read. But people like, again, the baller guys, they like this because he can play with De'Aaron Fox of Kentucky fame, I recall, mm-hmm. right? He was pretty good. And then he can, you know, he's got the size to play both point and shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
And in many people's estimation, is the best player on the board. Now, I know he's going to Sacramento.
Yeah. You won't hear much about him.
Is he going to... To me, he's the type of guy I would think that would be a head-turner on a franchise that doesn't get a lot of attention. And maybe can take over some games.
Maybe, but you already have Fox and you have Buddy Hield, and those two are
Buddy
Hield. Those two are pretty solid players.
So they're going to shoot threes.
And Marvin Bagley. So they have three good players.
Sacramento will be an interesting team to watch.
They'll be a very interesting team, but I don't think they'll be very good. And plus, same with the Wolves. You're in a loaded Western Conference.
I don't see a lot of defensive intensity in any of these
games. But just for the Wolves or for the Kings and for the Spurs and the Suns, this will be a loaded Western Conference.
Is it Kyra Lewis Jr. from Alabama who went to New Orleans?
The I is a Y.
He's got some speed. And
he's your Tyreek Hill of this draft.
Well, and what's fun about watching him is you put him with Zion, a healthy Zion, and that's going to be an interesting team to watch too, with the Pelicans. With they almost did make the playoffs.
Yep.
And what I think is probably likely to happen with a guy like that is just, you know, sit back and let him play.
Yeah.
And see what he can do.
Yeah.
Just a couple others to round out here. Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt went to Boston at
14. Best shooter in the draft, according to people.
Yeah, he really knockdown shooter. I know he got hurt in college, but he
was let's settle down.
Yeah. Cole Anthony from North Carolina went to Orlando at 15. People were at one point were talking about him as a top pick. But for Orlando, what they need to do, that's probably about right. Just going through some of the other ones, we won't go through them all here, Grant, but any of the bottom half of this first round you want to talk about?
Maxey at 21, I think, is a steal for the Sixers. I think he was really good. He shouldn't have lasted that long.
But let's go back. Can I talk about one quick before we get to him? The guy who went before him was Precious Achiuwa.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I wanted the Wolf to take him at 25, but then they traded their 20.
He was at Memphis, and he is a fun player to watch.
Yep.
Playing him next to Bam is going to be fun to watch, as Brett from Fargo will attest. But I liked that. I know that's one you wanted the Wolves to get, because he's got some skills.
Yep.
How about Maxey at 21?
I like Maxey. I think he's one of the most underrated players in this. I thought he should have been taken a lot sooner. I thought he should have been taken where the Blazers were at 16.
But he can't shoot very well, can he?
No, but he's athletic.
Okay.
And sometimes athletic wins. I like McDaniels at 28. That the Wolves ended up trading for, because that Lakers pick became the Wolves pick. And they needed a power forward, and he was the best one on the board, and I thought that he could really help.
But he's a development project, isn't he?
Yes, but the Wolves don't have a power forward, though.
Well, as we just said in the beginning of the show, we're trying to figure out.
Gomez is your power forward, and he's a journeyman power forward. I mean, he's good. He's a solid player, but he's not a very good player.
Right.
And you know what? You need someone young and athletic, like, to put next to Towns. Maybe Jade McDaniels is the right player.
Mm-hmm. No, I get where you're coming from on that one. And then, just to make me feel old, I just wanted to talk about a couple of these guys.
Kenyon Martin Jr.
Yeah, the fact that I'm talking about Kenyon Martin Jr. is like, holy crap, really? Is that actually right?
I mean, I'm surprised Cassius Winston fell to 53.
Yeah, Michigan State?
Yeah.
He's a winner.
Yeah, he's up there as one of the better. I thought he'd be one of the better players in the draft.
Is that one of those intangible guys?
Yeah. Who else was I looking at? I was looking at somebody else.
I was looking at Nico Mannion that the Warriors got.
Trey Jones, too.
Yeah. Well, Mannion is the point guard from Arizona, which he was being talked about as a lottery pick. I'd seen him a little bit. Got exposed a little bit in some tournament games in the past.
As being what?
slow.
Oh.
I think he's got some athletic deficiencies, and I'm not sure that that's...
My favorite name in the draft, Jay Scrub. He's going to be a real scrub, I tell you.
That's good. I'm not even going to try to pronounce a few of these other guys. The other guy I was looking at, and it was interesting to me, and again, these are later round picks and they don't really make that much, was Daniel Aturu from Minnesota, who the Knicks are going to get.
Yeah.
And again, having watched a few Gopher games last year, putting him with Toppin, now there's now you have a true center with him. And that could be interesting.
They already have one. They have Mitchell Robinson, who's a really good player.
Really?
He is. You don't watch enough basketball.
Well, maybe not, but...
Mitchell Robinson's a solid center.
Well, if you say so. Just to wrap up the Wolves quick, too, they got this Leandro Balmero from Argentina, who they got. He has to play in Barcelona 1 year. When he comes over, he'll be pretty good. And that's one of those that he could be the small forward that you develop.
Maybe.
We'll see what happens there.
But the Wolves ended up with 3 first-round picks. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, instead of having 1-17, they turned into 123-28.
Realistically, and we'll have plenty of time to talk. Well, actually, we won't. We only got a month till the season starts. Is it conceivable that the Wolves have done enough to at least be talked about for the 8th spot?
Yes.
I mean, is that the goal this year? Is basically the to goal? Get in the playoffs?
I think the goal would be make the playoffs or barely miss them. I think be as competitive as you can be with the 2 all-stars you have, because Russell's really good, Kat's really good, and if you develop the guys you should, the way Rosas and Saunders have talked about, this team can be really good in the near future.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason they can't be a contender.
In the West. We still have free agency still. I mean, there could be a big splash in free agency.
Got all the free agency to go through, but we just don't have a lot of time to go through it this year. So it'll be a different type of season. I did, just for just some side events surrounding the draft. Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter.
Tipping every pick you could name.
It's great. So we're going.
They're leaning towards Anthony Edwards.
And again, one of those deals where you have to try to figure out a way to make. And I thought the NBA made it work. ESPN made it work.
They did a good job.
Not really the biggest fan of some of the on-air talent that they have there. The one guy, what's his name, Mark Schmitz or whatever. Never seen him before. Jay Billis looks like there's something wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with him. He's just old.
And I don't think Jason or Jay Williams is that. I didn't feel like there's...
He's a college basketball analyst.
There's no Mel Kiper on the show to really,
Woj.
Break it. Well, but even he's not a talent guy. He's a reporter. And they don't really have a guy that can sit there and break down his jump shot or... It's just...
That's what all 3 of them were.
Mel Kiper can do that with everybody.
Like the Schmitz guy, he's the guy, he's like, oh, I went to see this guy play, and he was really good. And then they had it was the lockdown.
Who was the general manager guy that they had? He didn't impress me either.
Well, he's the GM guy. So he's going to tell you. I mean, he told you every team's needs of them. So I guess he is technically the Kiper.
There's just not enough time between picks to get it.
That's a good thing, though. It's 2 rounds. It's 5 minutes of pick.
I know, but
that's better.
You know what it doesn't do is I don't get a good chance to understand what teams need and why. It's just so bang, 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 bang right out. And I guess that's what's different between that and the NFL draft, where you get the 10 minutes between.
Yeah.
You don't watch this show and you get a sense, I wonder what they need. I don't know. And if you don't know going in, it's tough to track that during the draft.
Or if not an NBA fan, you don't.
Well, and that's the other thing. As casual NBA guy.
You still don't watch enough.
I'm casual NBA guy. And again, did I watch a lot of the bubble and that stuff? No, I didn't. And I don't exactly have it down who's who and what's what in the NBA. But if the Timberwolves are relevant, I'll watch.
I still thought the Wolves tried to get Devin Booker, but then I saw the Chris Paul trade. I'm like, yep, no chance.
Where'd Chris Paul go again?
Phoenix.
Okay.
I thought that Phoenix gave up too much in that trade. I think they gave up a lot of future assets to the Thunder for Chris Paul, who will maybe play 2 or 3 more years. He's getting up there in age. I mean, he's about LeBron's age.
Seems like he's been on so many teams that just
I mean, Hornets, Clippers, Rockets. Thunder. I suppose this is 5th.
Yeah, this is 5.
It is 15. I get where you're coming from.
And you got 1/8 of the league under your belt already, and you're starting to run out of spots.
I think he's become a serviceable point guard. I think that when Harden didn't want him, he's like, I want Westbrook in here.
Well, then Harden is wanting to get. He wants to go to Brooklyn real bad. Apparently, it's his deal.
Too bad. You got to wait 2 more years at least, because A, the Rockets don't want to trade you, and B, they can hold you as long as they want to.
Turn him down for a $50 million a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, $103 million.
How bad do you want to get out of somewhere when it's $50 million a year?
Well,
so
too bad. The Rockets like, we're going to keep you as long as your contract tells you have to be here, and that's right, at least two more years. And Westbrook's at least three or four more years.
Well, we looked at the future of the NBA. We need to look back at the past of the NBA for 1 minute here before we leave the NBA for the night. And it's hard to believe, because I remember watching it like yesterday. It was 16 years ago today that this happened.
It was so good. It wasn't even an HD.
Then Wallace is fouled, and Wallace did. Oh, Wallace! Right at our chest! This has potential to be serious if they don't get between. Wallace upset. Players trying to hold each other off. Steven Jackson and Rasheed Wallace trying to be peacemakers. Now Jackson yelling.
Suffice to say, this went on for a while. This is the
Artest is in the stands.
Yeah, this is Malice at the Palace from 2004. The Pacers and the Pistons. Pistons, Ben Wallace gets hacked.
Yeah. And late in the game.
Late in the game with the score 97-82 in Indiana, 45.9 left. And all of a sudden, Artest is going into the stands.
To the bench! Artest is in the stands!
There you go. And getting shit thrown all over him, and oh man, this was ugly.
Did you watch this live?
I did watch it live, and it really stuck out to me as just like, wow.
And remember, the Pacers were the best team in the East at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big deal because their suspensions and all that stuff.
They had the best record too going into that game.
But it was just one of those really ugly. First of all, it's weird to watch that in the context of today. With no fans anywhere and anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fact that he went up and he got that deep into the stands and he was beating the crap out of some guy.
Yeah, well, the guy that threw the cup.
Yeah, yeah.
We've heard about this forever. It has been so long. The guy that threw the cup, Artest went after the wrong guy.
Right.
Artest knocked the hell out of the wrong guy. And the guy who actually threw the cup was trying to get Artest off of the fan that's being attacked.
Yeah, it was just a mess.
I mean, so Artest was suspended for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
And who else was suspended? I know Ben Wallace.
Oh, there are a whole bunch of people.
Steven Jackson got a couple.
And Ben Wallace got some. And
but that really derailed the Pacers season, because that was Reggie Miller's last season, too.
He's talked about that
before. Yeah, on Dan Patrick's show, we talked about that. I'm just like, how and why did that occur? And I but the Pacers, because last year they lost in seven games that year. To the Pistons, and they wanted to get back at them so bad that I guess if they knocked the hell out of Ben Wallace to get your point across,
right,
and end up costing them the season, which they wasn't really good, but they lost in the first round that year.
Right. Well, we've gotten through almost a half an hour in the show here, and we haven't talked any football. So we gotta switch that over. We can't have Vince upset with us. So let's get down to business in the next part, for the next part here. Talk about the National
Football League.
I think Arizona has just scored.
Looks like he's in there. Kyler Murray has just crossed the stripe.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's gonna be.
That's Kenyon Drake, by the way. But okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Kyler Murray hanging on the football. Never mind. He's in. Let's go to Mike Pereira and see if that's in. But anyway, they'll review
that
one.
Or Dean Blandino.
We are on Seattle tonight
to
win tonight. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. I think that's what we picked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seattle a -3 point favorite in this one. Although there might be that lead. They're up 7-0 here as we go on as we record the show. But 57 over under. A lot of good games this week. In terms of the NFL slate. So. But Seattle, Arizona tonight, that'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one,
Obviously, the Seahawks took their first loss in overtime in that epic, almost full overtime game here a few weeks ago, Grant. So, but
they always play close games.
But we're on the Seahawks tonight in this one, right?
I
mean, I don't think there's any question about it. Playing at home, this is a game that they should win.
Yep.
Again, a lot of matchups, and even the games that are not very good have some implications to them, such as. We go to Cleveland, where the Browns at 6-3 host the division leader 3-5-1 Eagles, who are in. Carson Wentz has 12 picks. But what in the hell is going? What the hell is going on out here?
But I'm gonna ask this very first take question. Is this?
Oh God, are we on first take questions? Not
is this Wentz's fault or the offense's fault?
Well, he's not. You can't absolve him of all the blame.
Not of all of it, but can you? is the protection his fault? Are receivers running wrong routes his fault? Are receivers not getting open his fault? I mean,
does he have the talent around him? No.
So
I think we're all in that
so,
one.
So I mean, I'm not trying to back an NDSU quarterback here, but as much as I love Carson Wentz, it's just not him that's doing this. I mean, he hasn't. Not everybody's healthy. Their first-time receiver, Jalen Reagor's in and out of the lineup. Alshon Jeffery just came back last week.
Right.
And they can't. I mean, the running backs can't stay healthy. Their offensive line's in tatters. A complete disaster there. Their defense is inconsistent. I mean, you can't blame everything on him. It's like when Steve Young was just getting in San Francisco. Everything is your fault until you win something.
Yeah, you've got some real middle of the pack defense.
It's all the quarterback's fault in the NFL always.
But you know, there's a temptation here if you're a better, and 47.5 is the over-under.
To pick the Eagles?
Yeah, there is a temptation to pick them here. I'm not sure I can do it, though. I
can't.
I just have this kind of viewpoint of the Eagles that's just like, you know, this ain't the game. And I don't think this is the one.
For the Browns, if you don't win this game, you do not deserve to make the playoffs. And I want people to make the playoffs so bad. Because it's them, Tennessee, Miami, and Oakland that are fighting. Vegas. I keep trying to say Oakland, but Vegas. That's a lot of teams for those three spots. And they have to make a playoff with saying, well, we deserve to make the playoffs with this team.
Yeah.
And Nick Chubb deserves to make the playoffs. I'm taking the Browns.
Okay. I'm also going to take the Browns. And I don't. The field goal basically tells me this is an even game at home. So I'll take the Browns, but I'll do it with some reluctance. But I just think right now they're a better team than the Eagles are. And I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon. The Browns, I've gotten burned by them before. But this is a game that they should win.
But, I mean, they're playing the Eagles. I mean, look, I'll take my chances this time.
In New Orleans this weekend, the Falcons travel at 3-6 to the 7-2 Saints. Then the Saints are 4-point favorites, but they will be without Drew Brees, which Jameis Winston will get the start. And even that being said, with an over-under 51.5, man, it's a hard game to pick the Falcons in. I don't know. I look at New Orleans, and I think that they're a better football team now with Michael Thomas back, and I think they will use that to their advantage. I think New Orleans' defense is a lot better than it's been in prior years, too. But that being said, you know, New Orleans has a top 10 defense. The question is, can their offense avoid, honestly, turning the football over? But they're playing a Falcons defense that's 23rd in the league. Not overly impressive in terms of what they, you know, have been able to handle. I know the offense is explosive, but I just think this is a game the Saints are going to win. The Saints minus the 4, I'm going to take them.
I'm taking the Saints, but close. This game will be a touchdown. It's a 4-point line. It's a 7-point game, I think, in my mind. One, Jameis is starting. And it's a hit and miss with Jameis Winston. You don't know what he's going to do at any time in a game. He could throw a beautiful touchdown pass or an ugly interception. And Matt Ryan and that offense, playing pretty well. Their defense, not so much. But I can't say that because the Vikings whipped them. But
Vikings whipped whom exactly?
The Falcons whipped Minnesota.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's the other way around.
Yeah, but I'm taking New Orleans.
Okay. And I don't have I don't have an issue with that pick either. Honestly, if I would have picked the other way, I wouldn't have a big issue with that either. Interesting game in Washington. The Bengals 2-6-1 travel to the 2-7 Washington football team. Washington a 1.5-point favorite here.
That's a home favorite. Home
and the over-under is 47. I think this kind of sells the Bengals a little short, don't you?
Yeah. To avoid trying to screw up Washington so many times, I'm just going to say that. I'm going to take the Bengals. I think the Bengals are a better football team than Washington. Ah.
No, I agree. I actually was going to take them, too. I think when you get 1.5 on the road and your quarterback is better, Joe Mixon probably, my guess is he's going to play from everything that I've
better.
Heard.
Better. His team depends on
him. So, yeah, mine, too. I'd like to have him back in the lineup. So, we'll both go with the road under or the road underdog here.
Yeah, kind of.
Give us the Bengals plus the 1.5 at Washington. And notice we made it through without saying the evil phrase, which you shall not say.
Ends with an S, yeah.
Right, and starts with red.
Yeah.
Interesting game in Charlotte. The Lions come in at 4-5 and a 1.5 favorite over the Carolina Panthers, who come in 3-7. However, the starting quarterback scenario is up in the air. We don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is going to play. They've been pretty coy about his status this week.
If he doesn't, P.J. Walker's a starter.
P.J. Walker would be the starter.
I feel pretty good about P.J. Walker starting.
Why are you such a big fan of
P.J.
Walker?
Is what he did in the XFL? Or, I mean, he was pretty damn good in the XFL.
I know, against guys who were bagging groceries.
I know it's a separate league, but I'm just saying there's a pretty good talent in that league.
He was the best player on the Roughnecks.
He's the best player in the league. I think he won the MVP, and they had a whole season. But I like Carolina in this game. Detroit on the road in a game they need to win, not feeling it.
Well, I think with Carolina getting points with Detroit getting points,
you're taking the Lions.
I'm sorry, Detroit. Carolina getting points.
Yeah,
at home, a 1.5, even in the scenario where PJ Walker starts, is an interesting selection to make. But it's tough to trust the Lions.
Yeah.
Going on the road. You're taking Panthers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Panthers as well, plus the 1.5. I think this game makes too much sense. Even if the Lions... Now, I think if Bridgewater gets named the starter, I think that line switches. But
oh, yeah.
But since we're making the pick on Thursday night, we'll go with it as it sits. There's no over-under because of the uncertainty about the Bridgewater injury. So we'll take the Panthers plus the 1.5. And that line, probably, that's one where you want to check with your bookie before you bet on this one.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how that one's going to look. One thing we do know how it's going to look is that the Steelers go into Jacksonville.
Well, let's chalk this one up now.
Steelers are 9-0, a 10.5 point favorite with a 46.5 point over-under. And I don't, again, we saw what the Steelers did against the Cowboys and, you know.
And the Bengals.
That was a struggle.
But, I mean, they haven't played their best football these past couple of weeks. They haven't. I mean, I'm surprised they were even in the same, they were even on the same level as the Cowboys during that game. The Cowboys are so pathetic this season, and you should be blowing them out. And I still say, yeah, you may be 9-0, but you're still second in your own conference. Because you know Kansas City is better. You and I can both agree with that. Kansas City is better than Pittsburgh. And yeah, maybe if Pittsburgh's offense is on point, they can be really good. I'll still pick them to win this game. But Jacksonville will threaten early. Because, I mean, Green Bay, they put up a really good fight against Green Bay, and were in position to win the game. So, I think Pittsburgh, but close.
Okay. Jacksonville comes into the game with the league's 26th ranked offense.
But a top five running back.
That might be the case, but I don't see a lot there just really to get me excited about anything that Jacksonville is going to do in this game. Especially against the Steeler defense, who is very good at turning over people. I'm going to take the Steelers minus the 10.5. I'd take the under, but I don't think we're breaking any new ground there and predicting the Steelers to win that one. Interesting game in Baltimore. Again, another matchup of 6-3 teams. The Titans come in 6-3 and travel to Baltimore. And Baltimore, a 5.5 point favorite in this game, which seems like a big number until you figure out that the Titans really have kind of flushed some games away.
Yeah, both teams are really sputtering right now. The Ravens, I think, they're calling all their plays. Well, you run the same five plays every week, so it doesn't surprise me. It's Lamar left, Lamar right, and Mark Ingram up the middle. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out their offense. Lamar is their offense. I think they depend on him a little too much. And the Patriots aren't that good of a team, and you made the Patriots look really good last week.
And they did.
Tennessee, I just think they got beat by a better football team. The Colts are better than the Titans. I think, can you agree to that?
That the Colts are better than Titans? Oh, yeah, that was painfully obvious. Yeah.
If the Colts are quarterback away from really dominating that division, once they get a quarterback, they're guns a-blazing, ready to roll in that division. And I think Tennessee, they really depend on Henry a lot, but I think he's good enough to win. I'm taking Tennessee because I think Lamar...
You're taking Tennessee plus the 5.5?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're taking the Ravens?
Absolutely taking the Ravens. Plus, minus 5.5. Yep, we're going to differ on this one. If you, I don't think that I.
You can believe in the Ravens and their three play offense.
Yeah.
That Belichick has figured out.
I do, because the other problem Tennessee has in this game is if they get behind, they're screwed. Because not only can they not run the ball, and they're going to have to get out of their running game, but they've got a special teams issue with Gostkowski. And if they leave points on the table here, I'm just not comfortable that they're going to win this one. So I'm going to take the Ravens minus a 5.5, and I think this might be an uglier game than you think. So I'm going to...
Points at a premium or a one-sided blow?
Well, the over-under is 49.5, so it's not like their Vegas is thinking this is going to be really out of bounds. But I'm going to take the Ravens minus a 5.5. You're going to take Tennessee. Tennessee is a road dog, and that doesn't exactly get me excited. Now, Tennessee does have the 11th-ranked offense in the league, but remember,
A.J. Brown's pretty good.
I know, but remember that the Ravens have the number-one-ranked defense in the NFL. And that, to me, just says that this is going to be trouble. Now, I know Tennessee went in there and whacked them around in the playoffs.
If Cam Newton can do it, I think Tannehill and his offense.
But I think the Ravens are going to be pissed off, too. And I think they're going to be angry. And I think the Titans have that... There's something about them right now that just doesn't vibe really well. So I'm going to take the Ravens and stick with that one. The team that the Ravens couldn't put away and had to chase all last week, the Patriots, 2-point favorites going into Houston. And
oh, God.
This is really an ugly football game in every sense of the word.
Well, just because that it's Houston, and Houston has nothing outside of Watson and Laramie Tunsil, their left tackle, and J.J. Watt, who is getting out of Houston after the season, which he's already made public, that he's going to be traded after the season, they're going to blow it up, beat the Texans, and rebuild for like 6 years. So I this is easy. I'm taking the Patriots.
Yeah, and minus two, I'm honestly surprised it's not a bigger number.
It should be like five.
I don't think there's a lot of faith in Cam Newton as a full-time runner of the offense. But if you look at the Patriots on the offensive side of the football, they're damn near the bottom of the league, so it's not like they're going to run away from anybody.
Yep.
But the best cure for a bad offense is to play a bad defense, and that's what they're going into. I think the Patriots are going to win this game, and I think they're going to do it by more than two. So we're both on the Patriots minus the two, but I'd take the under at 48.5. Seattle scores, misses the extra point, shocking. Unfortunately, it's Tyler Lockett who I'm facing in fantasy. Seriously. Dolphins, minus 3.5 at the Broncos and a 45 over-under. The Dolphins keep drawing these kind of blah matchups, and they just keep winning them.
Yeah.
And, it's weird. They've got a top-10 offense. They've got an exciting young quarterback. But it's kind of the no-name guys that win in for them every week, like Smythe and Gesicki.
That's what the Dolphins are. They're 72-team, no-name defense. I mean, it says that they're a bunch of no names. I don't know much about them.
But their defense is top five.
Exactly.
They've got a top 10 offense and a top five defense. You know I get a big for those kind of things when they can balance on both sides of the ball.
I think Denver's just that pathetic. I mean, it's just Denver.
You mean the Dark Horse AFC Championship team?
Right. Which I said when I really deeply regret that decision. But it's Denver.
Fair enough.
And Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, not the 1-2 punch I thought they would be. And Drew Locke is very inconsistent with 3 points. He dances one, throws touchdown passes. This is an easy one. Miami.
Yeah, Miami minus 3.5. I think we'll take that.
Two was a wipe before with Drew Locke.
We'll take that action all day long. somebody's got to win it. Well, maybe. Jets 0-9 at the 2-7 Chargers. The Chargers are 2-7, and they're 9.5-point favorites at home against the Jets.
Well, let's put it this way: if the Chargers can't win this game, Anthony Lynn, your pink slip is on your desk on Monday if they lose this game. And if the Jets are going to win a football game, this is the one they got to win because they let the Patriots game fall through their fingers, and this is not it.
First team to 10 losses of the New York Football Jets.
Oh, I thought this was a game you'd give her on.
No chance I'm picking the Jets. I don't care what the line is. I'm not picking New York to do anything of any consequence this season. So give me the Chargers and Justin Herbert minus the 9.5.
And his new haircut.
Which I hear isn't very good.
Hey, we're getting them tomorrow, so.
Yeah, but we're going to look better than that.
That's true.
Other intriguing game. These last four are going to be all very interesting games. Packers at 7-2 travel to the Indianapolis.
Ooh.
The Packers are actually a 1.5-point underdog here. Green Bay as an underdog is a pretty rare occurrence. The Colts, they've had a mini bye because they played on Thursday. They're at home, and they're rolling. And they are interesting. In this game, are they up to the challenge? Is Philip Rivers up to the challenge of dueling with Aaron Rodgers?
But you know what? He's not going to have to. Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor are going to do it all for him. Marlon Mack's out, but Jonathan Taylor is going to carry this team.
You think they have enough to beat Green Bay?
Oh, God, yeah, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
You going to take the Colts? We'll see if you think they're going to be. I'm on the Packers, man. If I'm getting points from Aaron Rodgers, and even if it's a point and a half, book it.
I'm taking the Packers, but the Colts.
You chicken shit. I knew you'd bail on that one. You don't have the guts to pick the Colts on that one. You talked up on the Colts. Oh, Marlon Mack's going to tear them apart. Then you're like, but I'm taking the Packers.
Yeah, I am taking the Packers. Coward. Who covers Devontae Adams? Really? Nobody.
Nobody covers Devontae
Adams. Apparently nobody can cover him.
Who's covering Robert Tonyan? That's the better question. Ooh, Kyler Murray just got destroyed. Ooh, that hurt. Anyway.
He just got destroyed.
So we're both, you're going to coward up.
I like the Colts. I don't like them that much. Okay. I know the Vikes in there beat them, but I don't know about the Colts.
Point and a half. So we're both on the Packers at 1.5?
Yeah.
Anyway, 51.5 over.
Under. I mean, I would change the pick we also differed on, but I don't think he'll let me. So,
well, you could change it if you want to.
Unless I really want to jump off of Tennessee.
Okay, well, whatever. Now until the show's over, you have the right to go back and change it. So you keep that one in the back pocket. But we're both on the Packers here. -1.5. Interesting game. You might want to think about here. Chiefs at the Raiders.
Done. Nope.
Chiefs are an 8-point favorite.
Yep, that's all I need to hear. Chiefs.
Chiefs will cover at 8.
Their entire the Raiders' entire defense is on the COVID reserve list. And that is the reason why I'm taking the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are going to be pissed about losing that last game.
I was trying to bait you into taking the Raiders.
I was taking the Chiefs all week. You're not taking me off of that.
I was really trying to bait you into taking the Raiders here. Uh-uh. And I was going to tell you, hey, their whole defense is out for COVID.
No. You give me Kansas City and those weapons, and they'll learn from their mistakes. And you know what? You know what you should do? I just say give it to Mahomes and say air it out, baby, and we'll stop them.
Yeah, I think this one could get ugly, especially if a few of those players are out for L.A. Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's hard. I keep calling them Oakland.
So you know, it's amazing. I've gotten through this whole without calling, you know, the Washington team by its name.
Yeah.
I didn't say San Diego Chargers, which I inevitably do so often. But I couldn't get through this one without going.
No, I keep saying Oakland Raiders.
I think in the pre-game, I think when we were doing the pre-show, you called it Oakland, and that stuck in my head, or Los Angeles. So I'm like,
they were in Oakland for about 20 years.
So we are both on Chiefs -8
yes.
in this one. All right. Monday night, good ball game.
Very good ball game. Rams-Buccaneers.
Rams-Buccaneers. Oh, I'm slow on the draw here. You know, one of the things about doing this is you keep trying to get the sound effects.
Sound
right.
engineer Ben's not doing his job.
Sound engineer Ben is not doing his job.
Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
That'll be a losing horn.
That could be a losing horn. The Rams,
they're really inconsistent. I look one week and they beat Seattle, but they've won 5 of the last 7 matchups with Seattle. They match up really well with the Seahawks.
Rams' offense isn't very good.
No,
but they got the #2 defense in the league.
That's true, but I like Tampa Bay more than I like the Rams' defense. I think Brady has come out pissed after losing that game to New Orleans. I think that he's going to be...
Classic battle of the #1 offense in Tampa Bay. He's got the #1 offense
and the
#2
defense.
And the #2 defense.
Who's #1 defense?
Ravens.
Ravens. Oh, right. You told me that.
So, I'm... Buccaneers are at home.
The main reason why the Rams are the #2 defense, who's the best corner in the league? Jalen Ramsey. Who's the best defensive tackle in the league? Aaron Donald.
Well, let's also... take a quick look, though, at who the Rams have played.
It's not a great slate, let's put it that way.
The Rams have played every team in the NFC East now, have they not?
Yes, and they've won every single one of them.
There you go.
That's how many wins do they have? 6?
There are several high-ranking college offenses that I would take over the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles offenses, and that other team, which I can't name.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take any of them over some of these offenses. At the same time, I can't bring myself to pick against my Super Bowl pick. I just think this is one of those statement games for the Bucs, prime time. I think the Bucs are going to win it. They scored 46 last week. I don't see them slowing down. They may not score 46, But they're certainly going to score four more than the Rams.
Yep.
So I'm going to take the Bucks.
Yep.
And the it's 48.5. I'm going to take the over because I think this one will be a little more high scoring than people think. I'm assuming you're on board.
Yeah, Buccaneers are the over. It's just the Rams. Just Goff looks so inconsistent at times. The Dolphin game is a perfect example. They just look really bad and off their game. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah,
it was bad.
And I think the Rams are about, again, if their defense is going to have to keep in games. And again, Brady could suffer if Aaron Donald gets his way. However, I think there's
one wrong hit. That's Josh Rosen time. So let's not or Blaine Gabbert time.
Well, we'll see. I just don't think the Rams can score enough, honestly, to keep Brady down too far. And we're watching Antonio Brown try to fit into this offense too. And Ronald Jones had a huge game. He had the big 198-yard touchdown run.
But there's so many weapons.
Again, this is in theory, but it's one of those things where I keep going back. That 38-3 loss to New Orleans just really sticks in my head.
But Jalen Ramsey can only cover one guy.
Right.
There's not three of them out. There's just one.
So you would think a guy like a Godwin or a Gronkowski, if they're taking
Scotty Miller even.
Well, I don't think he's quite the...
No.
Well, but then there's Antonio Brown, too.
Yeah, there's Antonio Brown, too. And Gronkowski and Cameron Brate. I mean, there's...
He's actually looked at Cameron Brate quite a bit.
Yeah, he has. I think he's got three touchdowns this year.
So we'll both go with the Bucks on that one, minus the four. Finally, of course, there our game, the 2-7 Cowboys.
Executive decision, I'm picking the Ravens.
You coward. Coward.
No, I'm picking the Ravens.
So we have no differences in games. That's pathetic.
No, I like Ravens more the more you talked about them.
That's pathetic. That's just coward. That is absolutely just cowardice to keep your two-game lead.
It's not that. I think
it's absolute cowardice in this game.
You said I could change it.
That's the rule on the show. You can always change the pick until the show's over. But that's an absolute cowardice move by you to jump on the bandwagon. And of course, you know, it's all about protecting your lead because you don't have the set to pick either the Colts. Or
don't bait me changing my mind by using that kind of language. I know what you tried to do.
Maybe I should pick the Colts.
Go ahead.
Maybe I should pick the Colts.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to take the Colts. No, that's not happening. Cowboys against the Vikings.
Stop there.
Cowboys likely to get Andy Dalton back for this game.
That's better than Garrett Gilbert. Because Garrett Gilbert might put up a fight if they started him.
Cowboys are just...
But the Vikings have won three division games in a row. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay, and they beat Chicago, who Kirk hasn't beaten as a Viking until last week. So
Dallas ranks 32nd in the National Football League in defense overall. Oof. They have given up the second most rushing yards of any team in the NFL.
Oof.
All of these factors, I only need those two factors alone to tell me. The Vikes are a touchdown favorite, which blows me away. But despite the fact that CJ Ham is now a COVID casualty.
He'll play.
No, he's a COVID casualty. He's been placed on the COVID list. He's out.
Guys have been on the COVID list to come back.
Yeah, we'll see. He's going to have to clear all the testing protocol and stuff. But right now, he's out.
He's got a couple days.
Not that that's a huge loss, but...
Well, who's the backup fullback?
Is there one? Jeff Dugan? Or is he still on the route? No, I mean, it's going to be some backup tight end. Like, who's the schmo they threw at you last week? Tyler Conklin. That guy's huge, by the way.
That's true.
Which is kind of funny to watch. But, no, the Vikings have too much running game. And, honestly, if the defense has a pulse, they'll pick the ginger rifle off a few times.
Yeah.
I don't... Harrison Smith's been playing real well these last few weeks.
They do have a backup on the roster.
Who is it?
Jake Bargus.
Now, there's a good fullback name.
He's a converted tight end from Mac Brown's North Carolina. So
okay.
They do have one on the roster.
Most fullbacks are wannabe.
I don't know if he's on the practice squad or not.
You know, it's funny. All these tight ends are wannabe.
He's on the roster.
They're wannabe fullbacks.
He's on the active. Wait. And they cut Kari Blasingame, who's now in Tennessee.
Well, yeah, so he's black. Well, yeah, Tennessee. Who you used to pick.
Yeah.
Coward. Anyway.
No, but I think the Vikings are... I usually don't want to pick them in games, but in this one I want to because, one, Cowboys are pathetic, and, two, the Vikings have played really well on defense.
Yeah,
and
I think...
Chris Boyd, Chris Jones, no, not defensive tackle, the corner, and Jeff Gladney have all played really well, even without Hand and Dantzler and Hughes and Hill. They've played really well.
Yeah, regardless. And
the pass rush has been getting better. I like DJ Wanham.
He's been a big time
since
player.
Since Ngakoue was traded, he's been really good.
Right. No, he's played well. He's played well. So we're both on the Vikings -7 with the 48 on the over.
I think they have weapons, but I think the Cowboys have weapons, but the best receiving core isn't always the best thing. So
yeah, I think that's probably accurate. We're going to go to a play that happened many years ago, and you'll have to look the date up for me, Grant, while we play the clip of the miracle at the Meadowlands. But it was on this date, November 19th, I believe, and I'm going to say 77, 78.
Okay.
Where the miracle at the Meadowlands play happens, and this is basically the play that forever ensured the use of the victory formation. It's a very famous play. Got a date for me on this one yet?
No.
I'm asking you to look up.
November 19th, 1978.
1978. Okay, so 1978. So
Giants Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yes.
Don Quirky on the call with Sonny Jurgensen.
We're going to hear it, and it's just an amazing play. Oh, right,
this is an NFL top 10 play.
I don't believe it. And that was so the miracle in the Meadowlands, where Herman Edwards, before he was a famous coach, you played to win the game.
For the Jets, Chiefs, and Arizona State Sun Devils.
Should have had that clip up. But anyway, you have a situation where Joe Pisarcik, always now going to be associated with that play for the rest of his life, tries to turn and hand it to Larry Zonka instead of taking a knee.
No, it was because they did that, the victory formation. Well, really, back then the victory formation was you didn't go on a knee, you fell down. You fell behind your left guard. So you made sure you didn't get touched. But their coach, who was their coach? Was it John McVay?
Ray Perkins, wasn't it?
I think it was John McVay.
Oh, for the Giants?
Yeah, for the Giants.
Okay.
I think it was John McVay. Yes, grandfather of Sean McVay. But, or it was father or grandfather, I can't remember which one. But their coach was like,
"But the greatest thing about sports is you play to win the game."
I had to get that in.
But the Giants coach, whoever it was McVay of some sort. They're like,
what year was this again?
1978. So, but it was like, they were
McVay, yes.
Yeah, so like Pisarcik was, they were phrasing to get hit and get hurt, and they're like, so let's hand it off to Larry Zonka, one of the best running backs of all time.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Yeah, let's give it to him and make sure he doesn't fumble. And of course, he does. Pisarcik can't get the handoff into him. And of course, he fumbles. We're like,
so they went 6-10, which
That saved the Eagles' season, too, in 1978.
Right. I think they
playoff team that year.
Who was that?
The Eagles.
The Eagles? I don't think they were.
But they may have saved almost saved their season.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. The whole play though is just, I mean, if you look at the modern NFL, that would never happen now. By the way, since we're talking about the Giants, we better play the starting quarterback game. Phil Sims,
Kerry Collins,
Eli Manning,
the Pillsbury Throw Boy.
Sorry, we need names.
Oh, Jared Lorenzen. Sorry, I couldn't think of his name right away.
I don't think does he count? He never started a game.
He came into a game though.
Daniel Jones, we said. Eli Manning.
Geno
Smith.
Yep. But no, he didn't. He put for the Jets.
No, Geno Smith. No, he's on there. One game he started.
Oh,
sorry.
Come on.
Official records were kept.
That sucks.
Okay.
Joe Pisarcik.
Yeah, of course, Joe Pisarcik. Jesse Palmer.
Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, very nice. Kerry Collins.
I said Kerry Collins.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot about Kurt Warner.
And then the infamous exchange for 3 years between three guys.
Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell.
They started a wild card game.
Dave Brown.
Downtown Dave Brown, yeah.
And Kent Graham.
Yes. Kent Graham.
Of course, we can't go without saying Jeff Hostetler.
Yes.
Can you name the three other guys that started for Sims? And the strike year was great because Sims started him, and then we got Jeff Rutledge.
Yeah.
Mike Bush.
Couldn't remember Mike
and
Bush.
Jim Krosicchia. I think I might have that wrong. But
Steve Pizarkowitz?
I don't think so. Your grandfather's favorite, Norm Snead.
Norm Snead. Yes. The Eagles quarterback, yeah, Norm Snead.
Scott Brunner. Yeah, that's what O'Brunner. I said
Brunner. Scott Brunner, yeah, the guy before Phil Sims.
Jerry Goldstein.
Okay.
Jim DelGazio.
Yeah, Jim DelGazio, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Craig Morton, remember Craig Morton?
Yeah.
Before he played for the Broncos.
Yeah, and Jim DelGazio, the got the mutton chop sideburns.
Yeah, the you had to go a ways back to find some names that you're actually going to know, but one of them you should know.
Charlie Connerly.
Yes.
Frank Gifford. Yes, he played quarterback.
I don't know if he's accredited with an official start.
Doesn't matter, he still played quarterback.
Okay, well, he's not on the list for starters.
Still play quarterback.
I'm looking at starters here.
He still played quarterback.
One you should immediately get is the former Viking.
He was a Giant?
Yeah. Oh, come on, you don't know this?
Tommy Kramer?
Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, we did.
Oh my God. I am not that. You know what? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, that is on me. I am a bad.
I am
a bad father for not teaching my son.
I know he played.
In the interest of time, I'll go through a few other names. We said Charlie Connerly, Wyatt Tittle, Earl Morrill.
Yes.
Before the Colts, also, yeah. Arnie Herber, Frank Filchak, Tuffy Lemans. These are great names.
Tuffy? T-U-F-F-I-E?
No, Tuffy like T-U-F-F-I.
Oh, come on. Spell it the right.
Kinky Haynes.
Well, I mean,
you can't make this up.
There are a lot of great names.
Hat Moran, Jack McBride, Eddie Miller, Ed Donowski. He sounds like it should be. Now, here's one. Your 1936, the Giants had Ed Donowski and Tony Sarowski. Now, there's some names for you.
Two Italian guys from New York City.
That sound like Polish to me, I think. Yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's get in one other thing here quick, Grant, before we have to wrap it up. Actually, we haven't even gotten to college football yet. We're way over time, but let's do a couple of college football pieces real quick.
Games that aren't canceled.
Games that are not canceled due to COVID. Number 9 Indiana travels to number 3 Ohio State.
This won't even be a game.
You said Ohio State's going to cover 20.5.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. Ohio State's going to win, but I think it'll be closer with
I can't believe you believe in Indiana.
Why not? Back home again in Indiana. All right. I'm going to go with that anyway. Wisconsin travels to number 19 Northwestern. Whiskey is 7.5-point favorite in this one. I think that's probably about right. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma in Bedlam.
Bedlam.
Oklahoma touchdown. I can't trust Oklahoma. They make me nervous.
That's true. I can't trust them either.
And then USC actually in an interesting game, number 20, playing Utah. Who, as we go into the week before Thanksgiving, hasn't played a game
yet. Somehow, we know.
So those are your four big college matchups for the weekend there. I'm not overly excited about the odds on that, any of those games. But
yeah.
I think Indiana's going to be more interesting than you think. So Trevor Lawrence also comes back this weekend for Clemson.
Yep.
And we'll see how he reacts to getting back in the saddle in that game. So it should be fun to watch there. That's the college football slate in a nutshell. And then we've got some brief college basketball news to talk about. So the North Dakota State Bison are going to go down to Williams Arena, take on a couple of teams that we're all familiar with. For me, November 29th, they're going to take on Loyola Marymount.
Nice.
From the, they Hank Gathers, Bo Kimble version. But Loyola Marymount.
They used to be really good.
Still a name that everybody remembers from the late 80s and early 90s.
Why were they really good? I don't remember.
Gathers and Kimball. I remember Gathers, you know, he shot the free throw and left-handed and he died and all that stuff collapsed on the court. And they had a run. I think they made it to the Elite Eight before. I don't know if it was UNLV or Duke or whoever bounced him out of that one anyway. But so they got beat. And then they'll get the Gophers the next night on the 30th. So good early season test ground. We don't know much about the Bison. We're going to have to take a look at them. We'll talk about that more next week.
It's a really young team. I mean, Witts and Cruz are your seniors this year. But, I mean, Griesel's still a junior. I mean, it feels like he's been there for a while now.
It does feel like
he's only a junior. And Tyree Eady's now a junior. I mean, they have a lot of young talent come in. They've had a JUCO transfer. Not Vinny Shahid good, but is another one that came in.
Maybe he will be Vinny Shahid.
There's a Fargo Davies product on the team, and Grayson Hammond now. Yep. So.
Yeah, could be interesting to see.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm excited to see how this new team is. I don't know if they're South Dakota State good, because the Rabbits are always good, and they still have Douglas Wilson, who's going to be in our nightmares for the next couple months. But we'll live.
You know, for the Bison, they were picked in the preseason poll as third. Yeah,
Oral Roberts in South Dakota State.
Yeah, South Dakota State's number one. ORU 2, NDSU 3, Omaha 4, USD 5, the Fighting Squawk 6, the Ruse at 7. That's UMKC, yep. Denver, and then Western Illinois, and of course the you know, the Jackrabbits with, like you said, Douglas Wilson, he was preseason player of the year. Obviously, it's going to be a pretty good squad coming back for SDSU. Oral Roberts has our boy Kevin O'Banner back on there. He's going to be tough. But, yeah, we'll see how Rocky does. But our boy Private Pyle comes back for the Mavericks. He's going to be good. So we'll talk more Summit League as we get ready to go. But Private Pyle is back, and that makes me happy for the
– the one thing I miss about IPFW or whatever they were called, just Purdue-Fort Wayne now, but
– the Mastodon?
Yeah. Is that stupid high school gym they played in? Like it was their arena, but well, it was small.
Thing like, is, it made Western Hall look like a
look like Caesar's Palace.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like
bad.
it was like the stands like pushed back from their practice gym. They moved them up.
It's
like
a horrible place to play basketball. Yeah. There aren't eighth grade teams that wouldn't want to play in that gym.
Well, anyway. I mean, I would.
But. Well, yeah, it's probably a different story. Yeah. But wow, we are way over time. Anyway. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat, @legend120, TikTok, @legend. Follow us on Instagram, @legend_loudmouth _ pod. @legend_loudmouth_pod. Give us a like, show, hate the show, we don't care, same as please, and subscribe to YouTube channel.
Week to go before Turkey Day. Monday we will be back to break down all of the...
And Thursday?
Yes, we will do a Thanksgiving show. It may not be the day of. We might have to do it a day early or a day late, depending on how things go, but we'll see how it goes. We will, however, have two shows for you next week, starting with Monday, because we don't want you to miss Monday. We don't want you to miss the recaps. We want to talk about the weekend. We'll see if the legend and his cowardly change of picks pays off for him in the end. Because we all know he's a spineless, gutless wonder when it comes to making his picks.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that on the air? I thought we stopped. See you next time on The Legend and the Loudmouth.